All right, Can You See Him? Part one today. It's our brand new series. In the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different biblical texts that help us see God at work in our everyday lives. Because we know that God is always at work, we just don't always realize it. And God is always present, we just don't always realize it. And God is already always in the know, and God is always good, and God is always faithful, and God is always on time. But often we're kind of blinded to God's presence and work in our everyday lives. We just miss it, right? So today we're going to look at two guys who literally, and Carol already alluded to this, who literally didn't even see God when he was standing there in the flesh as Jesus Christ before their very eyes. You ever miss something that was before your very eyes? I do this all the time. One time I was looking for my phone, right? Can't find my phone. I went every place I don't even normally take my phone, right? Bathroom. We never take the phone in the bathroom, right? Okay. I was looking for my phone in the basement, the laundry room, the boys' room. Where is my phone? I was getting so frustrated because I had to be someplace and we can't leave our house without our phones anymore. So I was like frantically searching, and then I realized I'm actually talking on the phone to somebody like this as I'm looking for my phone. You ever do that?
No.
Or how about your glasses? Where are my glasses? Whether they're sunglasses or your reading glasses, you can't find your glasses. And sometimes, honestly, they're on my eyes or they're on top of my head, and I can't find my glasses, and they're right there. Do you remember these types of pictures, these hidden magic eye? Could never do them. How many of you can do these things? I think it takes a special, okay, some people, yeah. I can't do them. Then I have a friend who's so smug. Yeah, it's a red bird sitting on a mosaic bench with a leaf in its mouth. And it looks like this to me. It looks like static, no matter how much, just relax your eyes. What does that even mean, right? And they can find these things. I can't see it. Or how about these optical illusions? What do you see? It's either a duck or a bunny, right? You can see either one or see both. See the beak or the eye, either the bunny's looking this way or the duck's looking this way. Or how about this one? Is it an older woman who's angry or is it a beautiful woman showing her neckline? Which one is it? Can you see both? You don't see both? See, this is, I wish I had a pointer. Looking that way, or you see the eye, right? Some of you didn't even notice, I have 20 $5 bills scattered around this room. Have any of you guys noticed them?
No.
So weird. Yeah, so weird. Sometimes that which is right in front of you, you can't even see it. And most of the time we don't see things because we're just not looking for it, right? They're not in our mindset. And that's what our four-week series is about. Sometimes we've just not put God in our mindset. So we don't know that he is working every day because we're not even thinking about him working every day. But God's not a wallflower. He's the great I am. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. So we should be very much aware of his powerful presence. So we're going to look at that story that Carol talked about today, the two guys who saw Christ and didn't really realize it was Christ. So we're going to Luke 24 this morning. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Carol, you were awesome with your preparation today. We're on the same page. As she talked about, it is the same day. It was what we celebrated last Sunday. It was Resurrection Sunday, the very first Easter. Christ had been killed a couple days prior. He was buried. Supposedly, maybe he came back to life. This is the day. And they are heading out of Jerusalem, where all the activities and the dramatic events occurred of the weekend, and they're heading back to Emmaus, most certainly probably where they live. And we see here that they're followers of Jesus. Eventually, the text is going to tell us that one of their names is Cleopas, but we never know the other guy's name. But we know that they are like sincere followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. They believed him to be the Messiah. They listened to his teachings. They applied his teachings. They followed him. They loved him. Most certainly, they were overwhelmed by what had just happened. Jesus' trial, his crucifixion, his death, because it says, as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. Because the context is that of what just happened, Christ just died, they are not shooting the breeze of what's going on in the community. They're not being like, hey, did you hear Patty's daughter Kimmy's getting married? Which she is. Congratulations to Patty's family. And the other guy didn't say, I have one up. The Schmitz's son, Jono, and their daughter, Becca, are getting married too. Whoa. Then the other guy says, to each other? Oy vey. Says, no, silly, to other people. They weren't just catching the breeze of the community like we do here at Northside. This has happened in my life, and this has happened in my life. Did you hear about this happening in their life? These are two men not discussing town gossip. They are talking about what happened to Jesus, the person they believe was supposed to come back to be their literal king, to be the king of the Jews, like King David was, or King Saul was, or King Solomon was. So think about it. For centuries, it's been passed down in writings and by prophets, taught to them by their grandparents, taught to them in Hebrew school, that the Messiah was going to come. And they believed it to be Jesus Christ. And even though there was word that some women had seen an empty grave and an angel had told them that he was resurrected, they didn't quite know if that was true, right? Maybe Jesus, since he died, wasn't the Messiah. Maybe we were so wrong and he's not going to be our king. And the events just kind of happened not the way they thought they would plan out. You ever have something not work out the way you planned or the way you thought it would happen? I think of my dentist's dental partner. That sounds odd, but my dentist had a dental partner that he worked with for 30 years. And I happened to be in the office that day when Dr. Pick, this was the other dentist, my doctor is Dr. Medio, Dr. Pick, was going away. He was retiring. And the office was so excited because he was retiring and he had this opportunity because he was still in great health and had a family and grandkids. He was going to travel. He was going to scuba dive. He was going to play golf every day. That was his plan for retirement. So excited to do it. And everyone was so excited to do it. Well, that day, I had a cavity. That's a common thing when I go to see my dentist. So I had a cavity. So I booked to come 2 weeks later. So I came back into the office 2 weeks later, and I've been going there for over 20 years, so I know them all. We're all talking, and I see a picture of Dr. Pick on there. I'm like, oh, must be his retirement picture. Went up closer to look at it. It was his obituary. Oh. He had died a week after he retired. Oh. Out of the blue. Talk about not what you planned. Not what you planned. Devastation. I've had several friends through the years who were thrown for a loop when their spouses left them after 20, 30 years of marriage. What do they say to me? This wasn't my plan. It wasn't part of my plan. People I know who have lost great jobs, or when the stock market crashed and they lost all of their retirement savings and now they work 2 to 3 jobs just to cover their basic needs. What do they say? This was not my plan. You know, unwanted pregnancy, not my plan. Loss of a pregnancy, not my plan. Your home floods, not my plan. A sports injury that puts you out for the season, puts you out for 2 seasons, 3 seasons, not my plan. Parents divorcing, not my plan, right? Have you had those moments? Maybe not those specific moments, but plans where you go like, this wasn't my plan. That's these two guys. This wasn't their plan. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. So all of a sudden, somebody is walking with them. Have you ever started a conversation with someone that you didn't plan on having a conversation with, right? If you're an extrovert, this happens to you all the time. If you're an introvert, you think you're going to be mugged, right? It's a different type of thinking here, right? So I love this. This happens to me a lot. So a guy comes and he's talking with them. But look here, it says, but God kept them from recognizing him. I think this is bizarre, but every time I read this scripture, this is what comes to place. Like Jesus is wearing this, right? And they're like, oh, we don't know who he is. We don't know who he is. But really, it's not, we don't know if maybe God had Jesus disguised differently, or these guys were just had a filter on their eyes that couldn't recognize him as Messiah. But either way, they don't know who he is. And it's pretty amazing. And we don't know why God was not letting them see who he was. You know, maybe to prove a point that we often miss God's presence in our everyday, or maybe to prove the point that even when we can't see him, he is there alive and working. Or maybe God is making a point that he himself can be plain as day in front of you and you still don't see that he is there and he is with you. I don't know. It reminds me of a time when I lost my diamond engagement, the diamond inside my engagement ring, right? And I didn't realize I had lost it, but I can recall different times that I had seen it without realizing what it was. So I was taking out the garbage, and when I dropped the garbage into the can outside our house, I saw that there was a hole where my diamond's supposed to be, and it was gone. So all of a sudden, I was like, I had a flashback to where it went. So it began with Pate seeing something on the floor. Pate said, oh, look, there's something shiny here. Now, I was sorting for the boutique that day, and there's always sequin gowns or dresses or shirts in it, so I just assumed it was a sequin. So I said, oh, that's just a sequin. So Pate, being the good boy that did, just left it on the floor, right? So he just left it on the floor. And then my dog, Cody, oh, there's Pate. Then my dog, Cody, all right? That's what he looks like, a little bear. So my dog, Cody, I see him trying to grab it off the floor with his teeth. And so like any good dog parent, I say, stop it, Cody. And he doesn't. And then he puts it in his mouth. And I say, drop it, Cody. Don't I live a fascinating life? I say, drop it, Cody. And he drops it. And then I pick it up and throw it into the garbage, right? And then I take the garbage out, as you know the story, and throw it into the bag. So the diamond had gone from the floor to Peyton, to the floor to Cody, to the floor into the garbage without me even realizing what it was. I saw it three different times, but I didn't really see it. So these guys are devastated, talking with a stranger that they see, but they don't really see. So back to our story. He asks them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? I love this next part because it confirms what they're talking about. Like I said, they're not just talking about gossip in the neighborhood. They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. Basically, what Cleopas is saying, and it kind of stops his sadness for a minute because he cannot believe this guy who's coming from Jerusalem, the same place it all happened. Where have you been living? Under a rock? Have you not realized the town has been a flurry with the trial of Jesus, with the crucifixion of Jesus? Barabbas was set free. It has been a crazy weekend. And this guy is like, what happened? I was trying to think of what could it be like nowadays. I'm like, I guess maybe living in America and not knowing who the president is. Or living as an adult during 9/11 and being like, oh, I didn't hear about that. Right? It would just be like, it doesn't even make sense. How do you not hear about it? So Jesus continues to play this game. He is so cool. He says, what things? Jesus asks. So despite their shock that this guy has no idea of what came. I like to picture this next part, like when you ask a child how their day was and you're just expecting good, but they rabble off every detail of what they ate and who was wearing what and Sally smacked Jimmy at recess and stuff like that. That's pretty much what I picture here as they talk. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and then they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some woman from our group of the followers read the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing and that they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone just as the woman had said. So they like just like give this full report. Do you see how much they knew? They knew all the deets, right? They knew all the news. They knew all the action. They knew all the players involved. But yet they missed it. They missed it, right? Because we are told that they were saddened. If all this excitement, like this guy who did miracles, this guy who was an awesome teacher, this guy we believed to be the Messiah, the king who was going to come back and just have us under his rule, this is all exciting talk. Even the part where the women said that he came back to life, this is exciting talk. It tells us they really did not believe he was resurrected because they're sad. And do you think if they really thought Jesus was resurrected, they'd be heading away from Jerusalem? Right? They would be heading back to Jerusalem because Jesus is their guy. He's their love. He's the one they follow. They wouldn't be going 7 miles out of town if they really believed he was resurrected. They said here, we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. We had hoped. They were sad. You know, even though they heard word that he was back, they still thought, nah, I don't think it's true. They were saddened. They thought this was going to be their forever king, that Jesus was going to take rule in Israel and that they would be subject to nobody else's rule. The Romans couldn't tell them what to do anymore. The Jews in leadership couldn't tell them what to do anymore. Jesus would be their guy. But yet he dies this horrible death, a criminal's death, a embarrassing, devastating death. So as they tell the story, they're presenting it like a tragedy rather than a blessed victory. Now, if I were Jesus here, I would be biting at the bit to reveal who I was, you know, like, surprise, you know, here I am. But after Jesus hears all the events that happened about himself, here is his reply. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining to them from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I think Jesus comes in a little hot here, right? Because he calls them fools, right? And he's like, "You missed everything. You are so sharp on everything that occurred this weekend. But did you forget everything that you learned in Hebrew school? Did you forget everything that was taught to you when you went to the synagogues and the temples? Did you forget the Old Testament teachings of the prophets?" I mean, Jesus is still the stranger to them, but he takes them through all the Old Testament scriptures about himself. He quotes the prophets. He explains the meanings concerning the Messiah Jesus, including his death and resurrection. I mean, seriously, at this point, these two guys have to be bewildered. For a guy who doesn't know what happened yesterday, he knows everything in the world from the scriptures, right, and how it happened. So I believe for these two guys, it's kind of like once it was pointed out to him, like, see, it was said this was happened. See, it was said this happened. See, this happened too. It's their aha moment. You ever have one of those aha moment? All of a sudden, 10 years past your maybe a bad part in your life, you look back and you go, aha, that's why that happened. That's why I moved here. That's why I met them. That's how we got connected. That's how I started attending Northside Community Church. That's how I discovered God's grace in my life. It's an aha moment. And God doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. But sometimes he gives us glimpses of the darkest points in our life and shows us all of that was for this. I was getting you ready for this. Aha moments. You know, God is always faithful, and we're learning this in our study on Sunday mornings. Please come and join us. He is always faithful. It's who he is. If he wasn't, he would not be God. He's always faithful. And when you look back on your life, you can chart his faithfulness. And you can chart his faithfulness even when you screw up horribly again and again and again. And when you do great things, you can see God's faithfulness. He's always working, whether we see it or we don't see it. He is working. Sometimes we're working against him, and he's still working. And sometimes we're working with him, and that's a much better way to go. But he is always working. So remember, Jerusalem is about 7 miles from Emmaus, and Jesus joined them somewhere on their journey. So they've probably been talking between 1 and 2 hours. It's my guess, if their pace is correct, and they're wearing sandals, so I can't think they're going too fast. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus, and at the end of the journey, Jesus acted as if he's going on. He's just like so cute. He's like, oh, I'm heading this way, you know. But he knows what's going to happen, but he just is so great. But they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. Okay, this is not something you experience even most extroverted people. If I meet someone at Taco Bell at a football stands, I'm not inviting them over for a sleepover that night, right? So obviously these followers, they see something, right? They don't really know what they see, but they see something because come over, stay the night. It's weird, okay? So as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Poof, right? It's better than Infinity Wars, 1 or 2, all right? It's amazing. All of a sudden, they're like, aha, it's you, and poof, he's gone. And then the part of the story where you're like, in any Potter story, we're like, oh, this is what it was. They're like, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? It's that moment that's like, there was something so different about that guy. I couldn't put my finger on it, but there was something so different. I felt it too. That's why we had him sleep over. It's weird, right? I felt something like I had never felt before. Aha! It is the resurrected Jesus. And look at this. And within the hour, they had just walked 7 miles. But within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. And I guarantee you, they were going much faster than when they left. And there they found the 11 disciples, because Judas is not with them anymore at this time, and the others who had gathered with them. I love that. Like, they didn't delay. I don't know. Maybe they got a sandwich, went to the bathroom, said hello to their family. I don't know. But they're like, we got to get back to the city, right? Remember I said, if they really believed he resurrected, they would not be leaving Jerusalem, right? They are going back to Jerusalem because they totally see it now that he is real. So as soon as they get back there, they don't even have time to spew their story, because the 11 say to him, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. I guess they didn't believe the women, but they believed Peter, right? They believed to Peter. He's real, right? And because they too, as they're kind of like schoolgirls telling their tale, they jump in. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. So they're like, yes, we saw him too. This is our tale. This is how he did it. Poof, with all this crazy stuff. This is how we saw the resurrected Lord. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. You can't make this stuff up, all right? The women saw him. The grave was empty. Peter saw him. Cleopas and his friends saw him. And they're all saying he's resurrected. But when he shows up, it's a ghost. Right? What? And it does. Scripture doesn't tell us that their eyes were disguised to be it. They're just didn't realize it again. How did they miss him again? How? Why are you frightened? This is Jesus talking, he asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me, where the nails were hammered on the cross. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. And as he spoke, he showed him his hands and his feet. I mean, what a moment that had to be. What a moment that had to be. He's already shown himself to all these people. The stone is rolled away. The body is not there. The prophecy said that he was coming back again soon, 3 days. Now he's showing them the marks of the scars on his body. But then look at verse 41. Still they stood there in disbelief, but filled with joy and wonder. Something different about this guy. This ghost is different. It's a friendly ghost. And then he asked him, do you have anything here to eat? This is my kind of God, right? All right, now can we eat something? So they stood there in disbelief, still feeling good. I kind of equate this to this. You ever have something that you pray for? And it's a lofty prayer. I mean, it's something that's going to take a miracle to answer. And then God does it, and you wonder, did God do that, or just have a spur of good luck? You know? Or you ask God to provide for something, and all of a sudden you get this great job. Do you take it as, oh, life is finally going my way, or God provided for you, right? Or you ask for healing, and God heals you, but you're like, oh, that's a great doctor. I'm going to Yelp about him or her, right? Or a relationship that has been painful for you is finally restored, but you think maybe Dr. Phil had something to do with that, right? Right? Sometimes God reveals himself. He does the very things we've asked him to do, who he says to be, and we're still kind of like, I don't know if that was him or not. It's him. It's him. He's in control of everything. It's him. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. They're like, oh, it seems he's real. When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and raise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of the name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses. You see firsthand witnesses of all of these things. And now I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven. What a teaching moment. I'm risen, just like I taught you from the scriptures would happen. I am risen. There's forgiveness of your sins. I am risen. You now have access to God, the Father, through my life, my death, and my resurrection. I am risen. You can talk to God and hear from God. I am risen. You can understand the scriptures. I am risen. You can pray, and I will move mountains on your behalf. I am risen. I need you to open up your eyes to see who I am and what you have in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Jesus is opening their eyes to who he is and what he can do. And he's the same God today as he was then. So we need to open our eyes to who he is and what he can do. So are your eyes open to who he is and what he can do working in your everyday life? Your everyday life. Can you see him? He also says that he'll never leave you or forsake you. Do you see that? Can you look back in your life and see how he has never, ever left you? He's right here. He can't leave you. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. It's just who he is. Scripture tells us that he is working all things to bring good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He is with you. Can you see him? He's there in your loneliness. He's there in your despair. Can you see him? He's there in your joy. He's there in your pain. He's there in your laughter. Can you see him? God is always working. But do you see him? Open your eyes. Ask God to open your eyes to see him moving and working and loving and forgiving and guiding and leading and restoring and healing. He is here. Do you see him? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the reminder that you are always there, always present, that your promises are true, that you are faithful to your word. And Father, I pray against the enemy who has put up blinders to our eyes, who have made us look other ways and not towards you, who made us believe that we've accomplished things, or it's been luck or coincidence, but all the time it's been you. Help us, Father, to see you in our everydays, despite the valleys and despite the hills and despite the really, really dark places, God. Help us to see you working. Help us to trust that you're working. Help us to walk in faith, knowing that you're working. And help us, Father, to always know, God, that you are working for us who love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing.